Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom. And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you not live from the hot box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to Tobacco on Main Street. Our podcast digs today is Tobacco on Main Street on gorgeous Main Street, downtown, historic Westminster, Maryland, USA. The only tobacco on Main Street, anywhere. I'm your host, Johnny Midas.
And I'm El Fumo.
And we just want to shout out to Tom Cannon, yep, owner and manager of Tobacco on Main Street, for giving us this space. And actually, if you look around us, we are in one of the two lounge rooms where you can smoke here. So Tobacco on Main Street has everything you would expect. Mm-hmm. It does have a nice humidor room that you know, has some of your mainstays, you know, your AJ Fernandez, your Perdomos, you know, all these cigars you'd expect. And then one special cabinet that has Tom's Aged Select, where he goes out and he finds special stuff that you can't get anywhere else, like the Brothers of the Leaf Lancero that we smoked last week, 2021. I think.
No, it was 2018.
Was it 2018?
Yeah.
Old fucking cigar.
Old as shit.
So he's got some goodies up there. So check us out, Tobacco on Main Street, and see what you can see. But there's no props here. This is the lounge that we're in. So I wanted to just record in here so people can see what you can experience. Now what you can't see is the 87-inch television that's right there.
It's massive. That's almost a theater, man.
Yeah, they played the Final Four games there last weekend. Yes. So, anyway, by the way, very popular spot. Often sold out. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's only so many people, Fire Marshal said, that can, you know, like any business. And there's times, multiple times since Tom opened, that we're full.
Yeah.
Right? So check it out. Meanwhile, we are doing Burn Line Podcast here, and we have got a pretty cool cigar for everybody today. This is the Bandolero. This is specifically the Bandolero Premium. Got my
cheat sheet
here. All right, so let me tell you about this cigar enough that we can start smoking it. This is a 4.5x54 cigar, and it is the Bandolero Premium. They call this Vitola the Iranicos.
Yeah.
Ironic.
Yeah, ironic. Yeah.
And all of their Vitolas have names like that. We will touch on that later. For now, it is enough to know that this is a pretty good-looking cigar.
Yep.
It has a natural wrapper.
I think they call it golden.
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about that. Their marketing is interesting. But we generally look at it before we start combusting it. My wrapper is, like, perfect. Yeah. It's also a very fine, you know, small-veined wrapper, and this is an Ecuadorian Habano 2000 hybrid, which you would expect to have a beautiful leaf like this.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the triple cap construction, very well done. I love it.
Yeah. So before I took mine out of the cello, this one comes with a pre-cut cello.
That is correct. The cello is not folded over.
So
there's also no help for the retailer, like a barcode or anything like that. Comes off. I don't know if that helps with tobacco beetles. Like, can they just crawl out of the end and crawl around to the other side?
Yeah.
You know? But it is what it is. That's enough. That's enough looking at it. By the way, notice mine isn't round.
Mm-hmm.
It's flat where it was pressed into the into the box.
It's cool.
Yeah. So it's an oval by accident, I think. But it is what it is.
And this is a very well-traveled cigar. But this is
a very well-traveled cigar. All right, so there you go. For everybody out there, this is a small Vitola that we're smoking, and we should be able to enjoy all of it on the show. So why don't we go ahead and get this cut and lit? It's not a cigar show if we're not smoking. The Official Cutting, brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors.
The Official Cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. Featuring proprietary blends available nowhere else, Lord Baltimore Distributors are meticulously crafted boutique cigars made in small batches for every palate. Lord Baltimore Distributors, when only the best will do.
And as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority. No limp-wristed, cutting loud. I think it's interesting that both of us defaulted to the Craftsman's Bench open-end double guillotine, which is a J.C. Newman product, as our default cutter. I like mine with the gunmetal and black. You got the brushed and chrome. They're both good-looking.
Yeah.
Mine looks a little more, I don't know, rustic tavern. Yeah. Yours looks a little more like fancy high-end. Yeah. But they're just sharp. They work really well. Of course, an open-ended double guillotine is still by default the best cutter there is. I think it's so versatile.
Yeah. I've had this for, what, almost a year, and you've had that one for a little longer than that?
Yeah.
And I don't think it felt it even go like, oh, this is dull. Or like, I'm having issues.
And for $30, pretty good.
Yeah. Hashtag not sponsored, by the way.
Yes. Not sponsored at all, but you can get much more expensive cutters. Mm-hmm. I have some of them. They're not better. They're not sharper. So, there you go. And the Official Lighting, brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee.
The Official Lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. Featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world, 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us.
And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. You should be able to tell on this wrapper pretty easily. It is light and golden brown, like a Connecticut. And if you fucking roast it, you will know. Treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves, and it will return the flavor. And I don't think I was editing like last week. I don't think the camera can pick up the flame very well, or at all.
Yeah.
But you'll notice this has not combusted. It never lit on fire. And I didn't have to suck the flame into the barrel. And I think that's going to work, but we'll see. I got challenged on that because last week I said if it's, bigger than 50 ring gauge, you're probably going to have to suck some flame in. That's just a myth.
Yeah.
And somebody said, no, I think you can do it, if you have enough time and propane, up to 54.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. So this is a 54, 4.5 by 54. And I may have been wrong. It's not fully combusted yet, but it's getting there.
Yeah.
And you did yours more the traditional way, took a couple of draws in, draw the flame in. And you're much more balanced and combusted now. Now this, we do have to let this burn before any tasting notes. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is this is a very light wrapper. And I don't know if you noticed the really bitter taste right off the bat from lighting it up. So I'm going to really let that char wear off a little bit. This is the second Ecuadorian Habano 2000 wrapper that I've smoked in the last week.
What was the other one?
The other one was on the outside of a Bahique 56. That's an inside joke for all of you guys out there. You probably don't understand that joke, but
it's okay.
But I do.
We do. All
right. So this is a little special. I want to tell you guys about this cigar. So, there we go. Full combustion. All right, so this is the Bandolero Premium. All right, this retails for $24 a stick. That compares to this similar Vitola for a regular Bandolero is like 14. Mm. This is more expensive. But let's talk about the cigar. First of all, what it is, we are smoking the Irónicos 4.5 by 54 small cigar. Mm. Not a lot of cigar for $24. Right. I can tell you that. It has an Ecuadorian Habano 2000 wrapper, a Nicaraguan binder and filler of Nicaraguan Ligero and Peruvian tobacco. Mm-hmm. I am sure the filler is not just those two. There's probably Nicaraguan Velado in here, or it's not going to burn, right? But it includes those. Now, this is a little different. The regular Bandolero, they make a point of not disclosing the binder leaf. Mm-hmm. Now, they play off this with the marketing. So here's what the Bandolero is. If you haven't heard of Bandolero, this is definitely a luxury smoke, but the Bandolero Premium is like the premium and luxury version of Bandolero. But Bandolero is a cigar brand, Tabacos Bandolero, mm-hmm. is a brand of, or a cigar of, Corona Cigar Company, which you probably never heard of. Corona Cigar Company is a brand owned by Nelson Alfonso. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have heard of Nelson. So, you know, his famous brand is the Selected Tobacco brand that brought you the Byron and the Atabey. Mm-hmm. I still think, you know, the Atabey is, on my scale of 1 to 10, the Atabey starts. That's the one. Yeah. When I say 1 to 10, you know, it's not really strong enough for me, but it is one of the more delicious cigars I've ever smoked.
Yeah.
Very finely crafted. But, you know, Selected Tobacco has the ability to use Cuban tobacco. They have the right to export the tobacco, not the cigar. And they play that up a lot. And so a lot of their products, they'll have certain tobaccos undisclosed. But what they're doing is they're hoping that you'll assume that it's Cuban. That's why they didn't disclose it.
Yeah.
Right? It may be, or it may not be. It's a great marketing play either way.
Yeah.
Right? But they did disclose the wrapper on this one, and that may be because of the travel, the path the cigar has to take mm-hmm. before it's in our hands. We'll talk a little bit more about that. They do fully disclose the contents. So the regular Bandolero, the Serie A, is probably the most popular, and it has like a dark oily mm-hmm. Ecuadorian wrapper. By the way, we are playing the drinking game, so anytime we mention an Ecuadorian wrapper, you have to take a shot of something alcoholic. Good luck getting through a podcast yeah. about cigars and not getting drunk,
yeah,
because that's the thing right now.
And that also has the blue band. This has a golden band, which is new.
Well, it's a different cigar, mm-hmm. right, from the regular Bandolero. But the Bandolero is like the affordable, and that's why it's under the Corona Cigar Company, not Selected Tobacco, mm-hmm. because the Byrons are $60 sometimes, the Atabey's 30, something like that. And so Bandolero was affordable. The Bandolero Premium still slots a little bit below in the price range. But it's significantly more
yeah.
than the regular Bandolero. And they had the Series B, Series C. Mm-hmm. And they were calling the Bandolero Premium the Series S. And I think the marketing team dropped that, but you'll still see some references to it, Series S. Hmm. In any case, just like the other Bandoleros, these are handmade at Tabacos de Costa Rica, which is Nelson's factory in Costa Rica, and that is where the cigar starts. All right, more about this cigar in a minute. But first, we're far enough in. Mm-hmm. Ready for some tasting?
Yeah.
Let's start with strength.
Very mild. I'm going to say, like a 3.
3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm at a 3. By the way, what's a 5 for you to calibrate everybody out there?
A 5 would probably be like a Nicaraguan. Trying to think right now, something that everybody would smoke, because I'm a weirdo.
I have a pretty good one. Now remember, we're talking about strength, not flavor.
Yeah.
The Perdomo Habano Sun Grown is a 5 for me. It's right in the middle of the pack.
I would agree.
Right.
Julius Caesar?
Yeah. That's Tom Cannon, guys. We are in Tom Cannon's lounge right now as we introduce the show. Welcome, along with the rest of the audience, which consists of all voluptuous blondes. So, hi, everybody. So we've got that to sort of calibrate. And I think 3 is about right for now. And then, of course, when we talk about flavor and complexity, we don't know. Because simple is 1 or 2 flavors all the way through. Mm-hmm. Mid is more than 2 flavors. One might drop off. Another might pick up. That's about it.
Right.
Complex is like, it's changing flavor. You know, sometimes they have a very clear first and second half, or first, third, second, third, type of thing. And we don't know that yet because we haven't smoked it enough. Right.
It's definitely not as bitter as it was off the bat, but that's because we torched it.
All right. So, initial thoughts.
Right in the back of the hard palate, there's like a, not a bitter, but like a peppery.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say like black pepper almost.
Mm-hmm.
And as it exits the nostril, or goes into the nostril to come out, it's almost like spicy.
Yep. I wouldn't call it a spicy cigar, but black pepper, warm black pepper, is definitely a flavor. It kind of reminds me of if you pre-season a steak.
Yeah.
Like, when you stick it in the pan to cook, the pepper, when it heats up like that, gives off an aroma that's different from sprinkling black pepper on your tongue. It reminds me of that. There is still definitely bitterness in the flavor. You know, that morning glory, vegetal, this grew in the ground, bitter. But it's dramatically dropped off.
Yeah. It is a Connecticut, so. Like a light leaf.
Yeah. It's an Ecuadorian Habano 2000 plant, grown obviously under shade. It's a very, very, even for a Habano, it's a light leaf. They don't really talk about that, though.
Right.
It's not part of their branding.
I'm getting this weird flavor as it exits the nostril. See if you can't peg it. It's not sweet, but it's like a
Well,
weird.
Since you didn't describe it, no, I can't peg it. Here's some tasting notes that I had from the original smoke. Roasted pecans. I think that's the sweet that you're tasting.
Hmm.
There's also, I tasted like plums and dried apricots, so some dried fruit. That was more in the second, third.
Maybe that's one.
And then there's also a wood component. I put sweet oak, which I just made that up, but it's weird because there's a lot of flavors in here that have a little bit of a sweet note to it.
Yeah,
but,
that's what.
But the cigar is not sweet itself.
Right, like it's an underlying.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to get at. It's like, dude, I don't know what
it's like sweet pepper, sweet oak, sweet, like, you know, so there is no sweet flavor to it, but every flavor in it has a
sweet component.
Sweet
to
component,
it.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, I think there's dried fruit in there.
Yeah, I can taste it.
I'll be honest with you. It's a little bland. I think the cigar is a little bland. I'm not sure about the wrapper choice. I think I would have gone with a different fermentation process. I'm not sure what the wrapper is adding. I know that the Atabe is famous for, you know, its light wrapper. In this case, though, a lot of what I'm tasting through just regular smoke.
Mm. So if you hold it in your mouth, dude, it gets spicy, like, super fast.
Yeah, it does.
Like, that's pretty crazy, though.
I think that's the Nicaraguan Ligero.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, interesting choice for filler.
That might be where the majority of the strength is coming from.
Mm-hmm. So, Peruvian tobacco is famous. I don't know if it's famous. It's famous to me. You know, I smoked a Fuma.
Mm-hmm.
It was salty and sour and tasted... You ever had a Japanese dried plum?
No, I have not.
They stick a fucking plum in a jar of salt until it shrivels up around the pit.
Okay.
Knock the salt off. And it's like... sour and salty, but also has that dried fruit component. And there is a lot of that flavor in here. That's the Peruvian tobacco. So what's cool about this, and I always say, if you use Peruvian tobacco, it's on purpose.
Yeah.
Nobody does that by accident. It's not easy to procure, and it's not, you know, the most affordable. I like the fact that I can taste the Peruvian tobacco.
Hmm.
By the way, most people's palates, you might not be able to pick out flavor. I get this a lot. Like, how do you find flavors in cigars? It tastes like smoke to me. It's good smoke.
Yeah. Right?
It's all comparison. That's how taste buds work, is comparison. And I'll give you an example. Obviously, I have my own palate, but when I was a teenager, I worked up near New York City. Now, back then, before, you know, computers and AI, people went to the stock exchange floor. This is the 90s. Like, your job was to stand there and holler, "And buy!" Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the only liquid, the only beverage you're allowed to have on the floor of NICE is water. And so they sold caffeinated water at the time, all in that area. Not other places, but there. So the stock exchange. And then we came up with this thing that we called atomic coffee, where we would make coffee,
mm-hmm.
and we would put caffeinated water in the hopper.
What?
Yes.
Damn.
That was before... Remember, in the 90s, Starbucks hadn't really taken off yet. Yeah. Like, that strong coffee thing.
Yeah.
You know, people were still drinking Maxwell Hells and shit.
It sounds like legal crack.
Yeah. But in any case, the water tasted weird. Mm-hmm. The caffeinated water. As soon as I drank my next cup of coffee, I was like, fuck, I can taste the caffeine now. Because I could taste the similarity between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I can still taste it. I can taste caffeine in my coffee because I know what it tastes like now, right? So in the same way, you smoke a Fuma, and then you smoke a cigar with Peruvian tobacco in it, and now it's like, oh, okay, I can taste it,
mm-hmm.
right? That's how taste similarities work. That's how the taste buds work, is comparison and similarity. So we are smoking the Bandolero Premium, and we are smoking the 4.5x54 Ironic. Or Ironicos,
it's kind of
Vitola. It's kind of ironic. Like rain on your wedding day.
Isn't that good luck?
Like a free ride when you've already paid.
Yeah.
Like good advice that you just didn't take. Who would have thought it figures? All right.
Jesus.
So yeah, what I was saying was, I don't think for $24 right now this cigar has enough flavor.
It's not enough tobacco for me.
I think it's too light. Yeah, but it's a 54. This is a lot of tobacco. It's just, it's going to stop soon, right? It's well-rounded.
Yeah.
It has different, it's just not. And I think maybe it's just not strong enough for me.
So I know you smoke more than I, well, you definitely smoke more than I do. But do you think this is, okay, say you had two choices. This or Padron?
Well, it depends on the mood. I'm not a Padron guy. They're too strong for me.
Because mm-hmm. I'm not really a Padron guy either. But, like, if you had...
For $24, yeah. I'm probably going with a 1926 because I'm spending that much money.
Yes.
I'm going to spend it on the Padron. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I was trying to get at. I was like, I figured...
Now, you talk about an Alma Fuerte?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. For $24, I'm taking the Placencia all day
long. I would take that, yeah.
I would rather have a Lord Baltimore Nicaragua for $11. It's a better, tastier cigar. Also, it's aged more, and it's Placencia tobacco.
Yeah.
All of that.
That's the secret.
So, we'll talk about that when we talk about value and all of that, when we rank the cigar. But just initially, not thrilled.
Yeah, you already did yours, but I'm doing mine too.
The band is great, comes right off.
Fantest is awesome.
Yeah. All right, socials and surprises. On the social media front, you are our marketing plan. Please like, share, subscribe, comment. We're serious. It's really hard to promote cigar-related stuff. Thanks, Big Tech, for squeezing out this delicious hobby. But in any case, you can really help us out just by doing that.
Yeah, Facebook isn't letting me post cigars, dude.
Yeah, Facebook's being a bitch.
It says, there's an error. I'm like, just tell me you're not letting me... The AI literally said, oh, this is a cigar. I'm not letting you... Yeah. Just say that. Not an error, assholes.
In any case, we appreciate your support. Everything you can... Every time you click something, it helps the algorithm. If you think we provide value to the cigar community, which we think we do, just help us out with that. So, that's your... pitch right there, and I have a surprise for everybody. Let me reach into the magic box.
What's in the box? Look at
this
thing.
There you go, everybody. That is the Plasencia Culebra. Year of the Snake. Now, this is only two. A traditional Culebra is three cigars. Yes, that's what Culebra means, is snake. And so this comes, it's $450 for a box of 10, that's the retail, but it's eight cigars, parejos, and then one double Culebra. Mm-hmm. And so Plasencia, I mean, you know, they weren't thinking about the retailer. The retailer has to pay for the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then divide the cost up. So most retailers, the cigars are one price, the parejos are one price, those eight, and the Culebra is like twice as much.
Yeah.
Because there's only one per box.
Mm-hmm.
But we had mentioned Year of the Snake and Plasencia and this whole Year of the whatever, Chinese Zodiac bullshit.
Yeah.
That is it. So I brought it in to show everybody. There you go. That is going in the collection. I'm not smoking that. But there you go. The only thing that is bad about our camera setup, no one can see the Golden Hand of Destiny.
So. Yeah. It used to be the golden face mask at Destiny.
It's still here, bringing us fortune and good luck. All right, we are going to go to break, and when we come back, we will do our tobacconist tip of the week. Don't go away.
Go away.
Tip of the week with Angel Solorio.
All right, tip of the week, oldie but goodie. So we talk about value sticks, and especially something this small, like I think I want to smoke as much as I can out of it. So you can get a pipe and stick your cigar in it and smoke it. If you want to smoke it the whole way down and not poke a hole through it. You know, people, you'd normally take like a toothpick or those metal like pokers. For the cigars.
Yep. Cigar holder poker thing, yeah.
Yeah. So, or you can just stick it in a pipe. Stick it in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah.
All right. Good tobacconist tip of the week. If you want to join the Nub Club without burning your fingers,
yeah.
Stick it in your pipe.
Especially for, like, that cigar, the...
the Little Green Shot.
Yeah, the Little Green Shot.
From El Septimo. Speaking of $20+ cigars.
Like, what is that? 26, right? For like.
No, that's like 22, I think.
For
it's
what
a
is
great
2 inches?
Cigar. I wish they made. If they made a Corona of that, it's almost not even more tobacco.
Yeah.
I would fucking daily that. What a. Well, maybe not. It's a little strong, but it's a phenomenal.
Like, it's
cigar.
A shot.
It is a phenomenal. They just had to go gimmick it.
I want to see your skill level. Buy another Culebra and then stick it in a pipe and see if you can smoke it.
No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave them bound together and smoke just one till it ashes all the way around the other one. That would be fucking skill level infinite.
Yeah.
Threat level midnight. Half a Culebra. All right, so we are smoking the Bandolero Premium, and so far, I mean, I'm in my first third still. You're your second third.
Not much has changed. It just got a little sweeter.
Here's what's interesting. We're 30 minutes in. You're smoking, like, I think, a regular speed. Mm-hmm. You're going to get an hour and a half out of this cigar.
Yeah.
Despite the 4.5 by 54 size.
Like you said, the 54. I think it's still a good diameter.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just short.
So, a couple of notes here. First of all, the draw is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It's a great draw. You can see how the ash is holding together. I think for me, the bitterness has dropped off. It's much more manageable. Pepper, wood, a little bit of like dried fruit and saltiness. Yeah, so I think there's some roasted nuts in there. I think so.
Yeah.
But
just a hint of cedar.
Yeah, hint of cedar. But I don't think it's not ringing my bell.
Mm-mm.
I'll just say that. And I think it's just not strong enough.
I see the wow factor for me.
Yeah, I really would expect something a little more, flavorful, a little more punchy for what it's supposed to be. So let's talk about the rest of this. When you're making cigars, you roll the cigars, and then there is, in the industry, they use the term post-roll age.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the age of the tobacco before you roll the cigar, and then you have the post-roll age. These are all 3-year post-roll aged.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they roll them in Costa Rica and then they ship them to Madrid, Spain, where they spend 3 years in a humidor room lined with 5 different types of cedar. By the way, I've seen websites that say 3 different types of cedar. I believe Bandolero itself on the website says 5.
Yeah, I saw 5.
It's many types. I don't even know what that means, right? Here's what's interesting. There are a lot of woods you can use for a humidor. Poplar is the best because it's neutral. It won't add any flavors to it. But the one wood you cannot use for a humidor is cedar.
Yeah.
Right? Actual cedar is toxic. Also, it stinks.
Kind of like pine.
So when they say cedar, yeah, pine is terrible, especially... You know, if it has any sap left in it whatsoever, not even think about. But when they say cedar for a humidor, they mean Spanish cedar. And Spanish cedar is known as cypress in America. I don't know how many different types of cypress tree there are, and I don't know what this means. Is it how the wood is treated or whatever? But I do know that they said the reason for this, they're doing it like aging bourbon, where they put the staves in the barrel to finish it. And they're hoping it absorbs those different cedars and adds flavor. I don't know. I think the cigar is light enough on its own. It probably could absorb some flavors.
Yeah.
But I don't know what those are.
Yeah, we don't know how they're set up in the aging room.
Mm-mm.
Because everybody does it differently.
Well, also, even though the foot is completely open on the wrapper,
mm-hmm.
other than that first... 16th of an inch. I don't know how much of the rest of the cigar wrapped in cello is getting flavored from that.
And we're burning away any flavor that it did incur.
Yeah. Yeah, and you ignore the first 16th anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm not sure, you know, if it worked or what they're trying to do there. But there you go. So, you know, is it gimmicky? Maybe. You know, we'll rank it later. But for now, it's burning really slowly for this size. It is enjoyable. I would say that the strength has picked up a little bit for me, but it's like 3.5. And even that might be generous. It might have started at a 2, and now it's at a 3.
Yeah, for me, it's still the same. Maybe that's why it's like 24. $8 of those dollars was the shipping to Spain and then back. I wonder if it goes to like Spain, back to Costa Rica, and then back... to the U.S., or does it go from Spain to the U.S.?
Well, it's going to go from Spain to a country without tariffs now, and then into the U.S.
Shit.
All right. Insert drum roll.
I have some insight.
So
there we go. New for the news of the week.
Yes, for the news of the week, we will talk about that. So, the Bandolero name, right?
Mm-hmm.
This you know, bandolero means something in Spanish.
Like a vagabond.
Like a vagabond. That's not what this is referring to.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go back 300 plus years. Ooh. 1717. Spain controlled Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spanish were dicks.
No.
They just were. They gave colonialism a bad name.
I think colonialism gave colonialism a bad name.
So there were these folks growing tobacco in Cuba. They invented cigars. Like we, so you remember Hispaniola, that is the Dominican Republic and Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
They had cigars. Cuba had cigars. Honduras had cigars.
Mexico had cigars.
So, although a lot of the smoking in Mexico with the commoners was a pipe,
mm-hmm.
they smoked the same leaf. It was basically cigar, tobacco leaf, not modern processed cigarettes. But they would smoke it in a pipe because, like, you had to be fucking royalty to smoke a cigar. Like, the, was it the Mayans that had the real... The Aztecs were a little more, a little more democratic. The Mayans had the real hierarchy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was, the Mayans.
Well, I wouldn't say the Aztecs were pretty democratic.
More. That's relative.
I was like, wait.
In any case, the Spanish had this weird fucking rule, so they'd go over there, grow tobacco for us, now we're basically going to take it, but you couldn't roll the cigars in Cuba. You had to take the tobacco back to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that lasted for 100 years. So they prohibited cigar production in Cuba. Like, talk about missing the point.
Mm. So they embargoed themselves.
So puros were rolled only at the Sevilla Royal Factory in Spain. That was the only place you were allowed to roll cigars. Speaking of Mayans... the Spanish were a little monarchical as well.
Yeah.
So the problem with that is there were people in Cuba and around the New World that wanted to smoke cigars and Cuban cigars, and the bandoleros were the guys that would basically take tobacco from the farms and make cigars and bootleg them,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the New World. So imagine you live in Cuba, all your leaves go across the ocean, get rolled so they can come back and be resold to you for fucking king's ransom, right? By the way, that history is one of the reasons why, to this day, cigars are associated with wealth, high-end, you know, pleasure seekers, is for a long time, you had to have money to afford them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still do, you know?
Yeah.
Like we said, $24 for these, but... You know, it's $12 to get into a good cigar these days.
Yeah.
You know, if it's below that, you got a deal. So, you know, it's still not the most affordable perk. But that's where the name Bandolero comes from. So it's sort of a celebration of the pirates that would bootleg cigars in the New World. Fuck you to the Spanish crown. And there you go.
Yeah.
Ironically, these are aged in Madrid, but I don't know.
That's why it's called Iraq.
I don't know. But.
That's the ironic part.
Well, no, the all of their vitolas have names. So this is the Ironicos. They've got the Aventura. I forget. They have names for the different
mm-hmm.
sizes. It's the cigar taxonomy thing. What is a 4.5 by 54?
And it almost
Corona Gorda?
Dude, there's just so many. I'm gonna need a chart every time we do this.
Right. So that's why they gave it a name, but you know, sort of is what it is.
The ash is holding really well though.
Ash is holding great, that's beautiful. Yeah. I don't like the orangey yellow color.
Yeah.
That's not good. Usually that means there's
some
toxins in the tobacco yet. I am wearing my Omega Swatch Mission to the Moon Speedmaster Moon Swatch for the show today.
That's ceramic, right?
It is, what do they call it? Bio-ceramic. I don't know what the fuck that means. Also, check the ring out. So that particular stone is only found in one valley in Japan.
Ooh.
And they have turned it into an opportunity for capitalism. It is half like see-through, and it almost looks like seaweed in there.
Yeah.
So it's really close to an agate, but it's not. This one was blessed by a feng shui master, so now my hand is lucky.
Nice.
All right, now that we're done admiring Johnny Midas, let's admire the cigar. I do like the wrapper. It's beautiful. I don't like how it tastes. It doesn't taste beautiful to me.
Yeah.
The secondhand smoke, I think, is really raunchy on this.
It's okay.
So, ironically, I think this is one of those, like, you know, take your clothes off in the garage cigars, even though it's so light.
Yeah.
You know? All right. I'm going to touch mine up a little. Sign that I've been talking too much. I think it's time for us to take our second break. And when we come back, we will do our cigar news of the week and then rank this cigar. You're listening to Burnline Podcast. Don't go away.
Cigar News of the Week with Angel Solorio.
All right, News of the Week. So J.C. Newman is celebrating its 130th anniversary with a limited edition Diamond Crown humidor.
Okay.
So it'll be the 130th being revealed at 2025, the PCA show. So inside it's going to be a 136 by 50. Crown Classic Bellicoso number 9. In the humidor.
$10,000.
No, actually, it's pretty freaking affordable. $2,250.
You want to order? That's not bad.
You want to order? Like, that's a.
Yeah, I might order that. I might get that.
It's cool.
I mean, because you get 130 cigars.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's not.
So that'd be $20 a stick without the humidor?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like the humidor is like white and is that white and gold?
Yeah.
It's white anyway, so that's up Johnny Midas's alley.
So that's not bad, dude. That's the most affordable limited edition anything.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Cool as shit.
Good for Newman.
Yeah, you're almost not even paying for the humidor.
Mm-hmm.
So Outcast Cigars, a new Miami cigar and company brand, is gonna be releasing in June.
Okay, so Miami Cigar and Company, they have what, the Miranda?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Named after Miranda. so they have the Outcast. Yeah, I heard about the Outcast. Give me some specs on the stick.
So, Brazilian Cuban seed wrapper, Ecuadorian Sumatra binder, and Dominican fillers. So.
Wow, they got the filler and the wrapper backwards, but whatever, or the wrapper and binder, I mean.
So average price from $10.50 to $12.50.
Yeah.
But four vitolas, 5x50, 6x47, 5.5x54, and 6x58.
6x47 sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I would smoke that.
It's $11.50, dude. That's crazy affordable.
Yeah. Okay.
And then La Flor Dominicana Suave is going to be returning this summer. New look as well.
Okay.
It actually doesn't look like an LFD. Because, you know, normally you're like, oh, that's LFD.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's got the logo and is that the bull?
No, it's a horse.
A horse?
That's what I'm saying. It's like.
Yeah, it looks totally different from the other Suave.
Yeah, if you, like, glance at it, you're like, wait, what is that? You're
yeah.
like,
hey, that's interesting. Sounds... Okay.
So it's going to have a. Dude, you're going to get drunk. Ecuadorian Corojo seed wrapper over a Mexican San Andres binder and fillers from the DR.
Oh, that does sound good, though.
So, three vitolas, 6x48, 6x54, 6.25x60, anywhere from $8.40 to $12.80. Dude, that's
pretty good. Yeah.
you know, we heard that scuttlebutt that people, that the companies wanted to go the other way with, like, mm-hmm. expensive, but so far I've been hearing nothing but, like...
Well, we got a big rash in January, remember? Mm-hmm. Price raises, expensive cigars, limited editions since then, but didn't we say that in the... I didn't think it'd be this soon, but we said in our prognostications for 2025, mm-hmm. we were going to see companies start to put out more affordable cigars. Now, they're also, I think, preempting tariffs, because that's going to add cost. So you can say MSRP of whatever. That doesn't mean that's what you're going to pay. Right.
But they're also not profiting their tariff either, so...
No, it's a pass-through cost, mm-hmm. right?
So do you think the tariffs threw a monkey wrench in those plans?
I think they accelerated them. I think companies have to sell at a lower price because the buyer can only afford so much.
Yeah.
You're only going to pay so much for a stick, mm-hmm. which means that the cigar store owner can only pay so much, mm-hmm. which means the manufacturer now has to sell a less expensive product yeah. because the tariff is added into the cost, right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's ridiculous to have a tariff on something like Nicaraguan cigars because we don't make them in America, you know? Mm-hmm. You can't bring that back here. We can't grow Nicaraguan tobacco here. I believe that Cigar Rights of America will succeed in getting a tariff carve-out for premium cigars. I'm sure that's in the works.
Absolutely.
19% in Nicaragua, is that what we said?
I think so, but it could change because they're negotiating blah, blah, blah. So it's not carved in stone at the moment. So we'll see. All right, last but not least, Tatuaje 7th Corojo Tuxtla is going to be releasing in May.
So the Tuxtla is, I mean, I have some in my collection humidor. Mm-hmm. This is what, the 7th iteration of mm-hmm. it? And so that's a what, like a annual release kind mm-hmm. of thing?
Yeah. So this one's going to be a 5 5/8 by 46. So that would be nice.
Did they mess with the blend? Is it the same blend?
I don't know. I think there's one little iteration. So they use a Nicaraguan binder and Nicaraguan fillers, the Corojo... So the Corojo uses a Corojo seed wrapper, and the Tuxtla uses a San Andres wrapper.
Yeah, so it's the same. Mm-hmm. The same that I have from 2 years ago in my humidor. Mexican San Andres, gorgeous wrapper, by the way. Mm-hmm. Nicaraguan Puro, except for the wrapper, right?
Yeah.
okay.
So, yep.
And that'll retail for 14.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yep. All right, we're now live, and... Johnny Midas and El Fumo, we are smoking the Bandolero Premium. This is the Irranacos Vitola, which is 4.5 by 54. And we are just about to rank this cigar. And you can catch the rest of the show, including the pretty cool production story around the Bandolero, as well as Nelson Alfonso's mm-hmm. use of ceramic jars to smuggle Cuban leaf out of Cuba and all of that good stuff that you only get on Burnline Podcast. But before we do, here, let me make sure I get a good shot of my Mission to the Moon Speedmaster Moon Swatch.
Too bad we didn't go to the moon, but...
This cigar will take you to the moon.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm only halfway through. You're in your final third. Surprisingly long smoke for a 4.5 by 54. We're a good hour in, according to the recording device here. All right, so how about some flavor notes? Starting with strength, I'm still at a 3.
I went to 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5 is fair. It ticked up a bit mm-hmm. from when we started. So it either went from 2.5 to 3 or 3 to 3.5, mm-hmm. something like that. And then we talk about complexity, and I will tell you that this hasn't changed really much. I would call it mid. There's enough flavors. It's not simple.
Yeah, it's just mid.
And some flavor notes. So there is warm black pepper. There is cedar. There is, I think, dried Japanese plum, a little saltiness, and roasted pecans. Those are flavors we kind of picked out. I think it's delicious, but also, I don't know, it's a little too flat and bland. for me for this price point. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I was expecting a little bit more, so.
Yeah. So, there you go. This is a Nelson Alfonso creation. This is from his Corona Cigar Company brand, as opposed to Selected Tobacco Group, which produces the Byron and the Atabey. And, of course, this is out of his factory in Costa Rica, which, here's a little trivia that, as usual, you can only get on Burnline Podcast. Same factory in Costa Rica that produces El Septimo's product. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they... really market themselves hard as like a luxury brand, right? So there you go, and we're about to rank this, so I'm going to drop off of Insta. Thanks for joining. Of course, you can catch the full episode and all of our episodes on YouTube or Spotify for video, and of course, if you listen to audio in the car while you're driving to work like I do, anywhere that fine podcasts are cast. I'm Donny Midas.
I'm Will Fumo.
And you're listening to Burnline Podcast. Okay, let's rank this cigar. Let's start with presentation. I've got a solid 5. The cigar itself is pretty. You know, the bands are... They're okay. I mean...
You just get to the point.
Yeah. I mean, it honestly, it looks like Web 1.0. Like, I think they could have put a lot more effort into making it attractive. Mm-hmm. You know, there's too many colors and shapes and whatever. But it's fine. The cello doesn't do anything for it, but it doesn't take away either. I would like them to have a barcode on there.
Yeah.
Retailer, but I just have a 5. What? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I was thinking 4 or 5, honestly. 5 would be okay.
All right, and then construction. So, you know, no burn issues, great draw.
No unwrapping, no blow-ups.
I can't think of a reason to not give it a 10.
Yeah, 10 on construction.
Yeah,
great draw.
The band came right off. I think they really nailed it there. Triple cap was beautiful. All right, so I think those two were kind of easy. And then price at 24, you know, it's a value call. The problem that I have is this is a nice cigar. It's not super unique. It's not super flavorful. It's not super special. And it's $24. I've got like a 3.
Yeah, 3.
I mean, there's
almost a 1.
There, you can go 1.
Yeah,
that's fine. Here's my point. There's not a fucking stick in the humidor at this price point that's worse than this.
Right.
There are plenty of $10 to $15 cigars. I think that are a better flavor.
Yeah.
More flavorful. More. Just a better.
Dude, I can get the Cosecha 149 for $15.
Yeah, $15 for a Plasencia Cosecha 149. Great stick.
Yeah, slightly bigger.
We smoked the 151 on the show, right? $24, man, you're getting into territory. I mean, I can get a Casa Fuente for that.
I can get an Alma Fuerte for 22.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that brings us to flavor. I do like the light, nutty, you know, fruit flavor, but it's certainly not in my wheelhouse, and believe it or not, I'm going to go with the, it's not strong enough.
Yeah, it's too late.
Not flavorful enough. You know, for me, like, I've got like a 4 on flavor.
Yeah, 4.
Yeah, so, we're not, as you can see, we're not thrilled, and a lot of it is related to price. If you paid $4.99 for this stick, would it rank better?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the value, the price just factors into everything.
All right, so that brings us to experience. It's the most subjective and most important because that's why we smoke cigars. And the one thing I'll say is, like, the backstory on it and how they age it and the name, it's all pretty cool. As far as smoking it, it's too expensive to do anything with, which is unfortunate. This is a sit-down and smoke, enjoy it in the humidor. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not... I wouldn't say it's a gift cigar or anything because it's not good enough.
No.
It's
not even a barbecue cigar. It's not a football cigar.
Yeah. So,
I think it's mostly a lounge cigar, honestly.
It's a lounge cigar, yeah.
Yeah, because for the price point, I'm not walking the dog or doing yard work.
Well, what's unfortunate is, like, if you're in the kind of lounges we hang out with, that are full of people who know how to smoke cigars, love them, have smoked a lot... A lot of them are going to smoke these and be like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, it tastes too much like tobacco.
Yeah.
You know, like, too much of the flavor is like Volato.
Yeah.
You know, Ecuadorian Volato.
By the way, that end is pretty vegetal.
Yes, the vegetal that it does pick up in the final third. Mm-hmm. So, you know, honestly, the experience isn't great. I'm not sure the use case for this cigar, you know, other than, like, buying it for the shipping to Spain to age for 3 years. Yeah, like, other than that. So, I got to be honest with you, I have a 3 for experience. I could go up to a 5. I couldn't go higher.
No, I'll go 3. Definitely not a 5.
So, we're agreed.
Yeah.
So we might have a new record on the show, record low. I think we had a 22 one time. Final score, 25.
Okay.
The only thing going for it, it did have perfect construction.
Yes.
So big shout out, you know, to Tabacalera de Costa Rica.
Yeah.
They're continuing to kill it. By the way, they produce extremely high quality production. You know, whatever you think of El Septimo's, the construction is always there.
Yeah.
Construction's there here. Same thing with the Byron and the Atabe. Not the Byron. That episode didn't air. But yeah, that's the final score. Is 25.
Okay.
For the Bandolero Premium Iranicos 4.5 by 54, retailing for $24 MSRP. You're listening to Johnny Midas and Al Fumo on Burnline Podcast, and we will see you again next week.